listen to the wind blow.
Dom's version. Keep going. Karaoke day here on Canucks.
Come on, Dom.
No.
You know it.
No, I don't.
Come on, bud.
Maybe with the chorus.
Don't tease us like that.
And if you don't love me now,
you can never love me again.
What's your go-to karaoke jam, Dom?
Oh, hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
I think it's called Iris.
By Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Not bad. How do you not know the name?
Because I haven't gone in a while.
All right.
Truly, Madly, Deeply, actually.
Savage Garden?
Yeah, if you go Savage Garden late at, like, karaoke night when everyone's, like, feeling it and down to sing along with you, that's a winner.
I could see that.
It's a secret winner. Because really, all you want is something that everyone knows the words to.
Dancing Queen, ABBA.
Wasn't Me by Shaggy. I've
That's a great one.
That's a
I can see that.
That's a winner, man.
I can see that.
That's a full crowd pleaser.
I like to do In
Higher
the End.
Creed.
I like to do In the End by Linkin Park, and I like to do both the rap and the singing.
Oh, boy.
As, like, a party trick.
I want to see you rap.
Stunt karaoke.
Well, it's a party trick.
It's not really rap. It's, like, one thing. Everyone knows it. It's fun.
We might have to do a Canucks Talk karaoke night.
We should.
You were way more excited about that question than I expected you to be.
Oh, I love karaoke.
Big
night.
Karaoke.
I would
guy.
Say
big karaoke guy.
Weezer, Say It Ain't So is probably my number one.
Ooh,
me, Batch, and Chris Faber.
Oh, Batch is a karaoke star.
Had a run in the Okanagan that had people coming over to the table and being like, "What do you guys do for
you
a
had
living?"
A run.
We had a run. Like we had a run where we were
legendary
all
run.
We were all just killing it. And people were coming up to the table and being like, what do you guys do for a living? You're so good at karaoke. And we're like, we're hockey reporters.
That's what we do.
It was awesome.
All right, let's wrap up the show here with the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 10th. Headlines, the Canucks play the, for now, Arizona-based Coyotes tonight at Rogers Arena. 7:30 puck drop. I just want to catch people
the
up.
The Arizona Zombies.
There's been a lot of reporting, even as we've been on the air, on this Arizona situation. So initially we read Frank Zaravelli's tweet saying that players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City, but we've received pushback on that characterization of talks. Now, Greg Wyshynski has said that Coyotes players are more just following it on social media. They haven't really been told anything specifically
brutal
about the situation. Elliot Friedman, our Sportsnet NHL insider, reporting that the NHL and the Arizona Coyotes are preparing for the possibility of a move to Utah as soon as April 18th. That's a week ago from tomorrow, or a week from tomorrow. It would be the day after the Coyotes' season ends with their final home game against Edmonton on April 17th. He also says, I believe, that Coyotes players have been told there are rumors of a meeting about the future before everyone goes their separate ways for the offseason, but maybe they haven't been told anything else beyond that. So very fluid situation, but sounds like it could be resolved one way or another as soon as next week. And I thought just some interesting further reporting from Friedman was that so if Morello sells the team to the league, they sell it to Ryan Smith, who moves it to Utah, that Morello could be offered a 5-year exclusive window to bring back the Coyotes as an expansion franchise, although there would be certain language stating what would need to be accomplished for him to return. He says the league definitely desires a return to the market if it leaves. And he also mentions the real key is what the NHL will promise Morello to avoid this ending up in court. So this is a very tricky situation for the NHL because there's two things going on here. One, there's a bunch of different things. They want to get this team out of Mullet Arena and to Salt Lake. They want a team in Salt Lake. They want Ryan Smith to be an owner. They want a team in Arizona, but they don't want it to be owned by Alex Morello, but they don't want to get sued by Alex Morello. And they're trying to thread the needle to accomplish all of those goals at the same time, which is very, very difficult to do, or is going to be very tricky for the NHL to do. At least that's my read on the situation.
I think that's a very, very strong read on the situation. And this Morello thing's been a disaster from the moment it went down. Just too bad.
Bad. You'd think the NHL would learn its lesson about you really want to make sure you feel good about the owner before you let them into the club.
Oh, it's so
because once they're in the club, it's a bad situation, and it's not easy to deal with.
It's so crucial. I mean, you know, if you go back to 2013 and contrast what's happened to the Coyotes versus what's happened to a team that was in pretty similar situation 10 years ago, anyway, the Florida Panthers.
Mm.
You know, who just opened this world-class training facility. You know, the there's still arena issues, but stable ownership, man, it makes a world of difference. I had a front row seat to it. The difference is massive.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's the latest on the Arizona Coyotes situation. Again, it sounds like there could be more and more developments here with that April 18th date mentioned by Elliot Friedman as a potential resolution date for this situation. So that's the backdrop for this game between the Coyotes and the Canucks at Rogers Arena tonight. Of course, the Coyotes also coming off a 5-0 drubbing at the hands of the Kraken in Seattle last night. So they're on the second end of a back-to-back here. Looks like Artur Shelovs will get another start based on the goalie situation at practice today. And, of course, he's 3-for-3 in his three games this season for the Canucks in the crease, most recently picking up the win against Vegas on Monday. Does this say more about how the Canucks coaches are seeing Artur Shelov's game right now to you, Drance, or maybe does it speak to a lack of confidence in Casey DeSmith?
Well, I think you have to play Shelov's again after how he performed against Vegas. That's my view. But yeah, I mean,
I don't know. He let in 3 goals. Do you have to go back to him?
Well, he settled down. He played
sure.
Well. He's rolling now. No, I think so. I think we're already at a point, and Kevin Woodley was on the program yesterday. You weren't, but he was.
Yes,
and I don't know why I'm being a jerk about it. I have no problem doing the show alone.
Honestly,
and
I had
giving you a day
I
off.
Had a great day off yesterday.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
You worked so hard the night before.
Beautiful day. It was lovely.
Yeah, dude, I'm happy for you. I'm a team
Thank
player.
You.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to treat it like you don't work. Like you're not Dom.
Dom's pretending he's not listening.
You don't know. Dom immediately reacted.
I don't know
reacted.
Where this narrative came from. Why do you say lies? Just because I'm doing 32 on Thursdays and Sundays, this, you know.
I'm just getting a rise from you because it's so good. Anyway.
I work very hard.
Woodley refused to be pinned down, and I, like, litigated him. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like, I kept
cross-examined him.
Yeah, I, like, kept going.
Because you shine a bright light
badgered
in his
the
face
witness.
And
I like asked him a question. I was like, do you think they'd have to consider strongly if Demko were to be unavailable in a postseason game at some point, playing Shelovs over DeSmith at this point? And he, you know, gave me a long-winded answer without answering the question. And I was like, your best guess. And he was like, yeah, I think they probably would have to consider it. I do think we've reached that point.
That's interesting. I mean, I was talking with Sat on the postgame show on Monday, and I was kind of saying, you know, I think DeSmith would really have to. Like, the fall from grace for DeSmith would have to be more aggressive and more kind of pronounced than it already has been for that to be the case. But maybe they've seen enough from Shelovs to kind of put at least start that conversation already. And then the other thing that's interesting here, right, is, you know, we heard from Rick Tocchet yesterday, I believe, right, about Demko's kind of gradual return process, you know, did about 60% of the practice yesterday. We've heard that Saturday could be a potential return date, but Rick Tocchet was also kind of non-committal about that yesterday. So, I mean, if Shelov starts tonight, and then do you get Demko the game next week against Calgary at home? Does Smith get either of the other two games there, or does Shelov's get those ones as well? You're kind of running out of, like, if you want DeSmith to be an option, how long do you want him to be cold for going into the playoffs? So there's a lot to juggle here, but you also want to make sure Demko gets enough games, enough reps in before the playoffs. So there's a lot to juggle here in the crease for the Canucks over the final four games.
Yeah, it's a good point. There is. And we're going to have Demko mixed in. We're definitely going to see DeSmith again. That one thing, too, that Woodley told me from Morning Skate was, he thought Demko looked like a goaltender who would have been capable of playing a game tonight.
Mm.
So clearly the Canucks are playing it close to the vest, even if Demko hasn't had a full practice. Saturday is going to be interesting, especially with sort of reporting out of Edmonton that might be the game that McDavid targets to return.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how the results unfold tonight, because to me that's the big headline. Like, tonight is an opportunity for the Canucks to effectively seal the Pacific Division, although they'd need some help from Vegas to do so. But yeah, I mean, they can really sort of put this to bed with a week to go, with a win tonight and an Oilers loss.
Well, it's
without McDavid against the Golden Knights.
The interesting thing is, let's say it does go the Canucks' way, and as you mentioned, Edmonton hosting Vegas, but Connor McDavid, I think the last report was game time decision, but pointing towards
unlikely,
maybe he doesn't
yeah.
play, unlikely that he plays. So let's say Canucks win, Edmonton loses. Does it even make sense for Connor McDavid to, like, quote unquote, rush back for that game on Saturday? Or do they kind of fold up shop as the division is concerned at that point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, does that take the air out of that game, and all of a sudden it's not something that McDavid has circled on his calendar to get back
for? Especially with the Kings coughing it up against the Ducks yesterday. Like
Edmonton might be locked in.
Edmonton's very close to locked in.
And so at that point, I mean, you know, how many games does McDavid need to play before the end of the season at that point? I mean, he probably won't, you know, 100 assists, Hart Trophy considerations.
I wonder, too, if they just want to play Vancouver. You know, like, it's been a long time. They haven't played Vancouver since, the way that they'll tell the story, since we've been in form.
Yep.
Right? You know, I wonder, do you just want to beat them before the playoffs begin, before you bump into them potentially in the second round?
That's an interesting take on it as well. So lots going on in the Western Conference playoff picture today.
Let's go to the broadsheet.
Okay.
And I just want to note something. This is me, okay?
Okay.
When Ryan Smith bought the Utah Jazz, they had the 17th highest payroll. He inherited a team with the 17th highest payroll in the NBA, mm-hmm. about $120 million. The next season, they were sixth, having added $20 million plus to the books. And they sort of rolled with that. They're now back toward the back of the league, but that's because they're rebuilding. And they're not rebuilding in a way that's, like, scant on resources,
mm-hmm.
right? They're rebuilding in a way that's, you know, one of the models right now for the NBA, like Sam Presti, but with higher budget. That's kind of the model that the Utah Jazz have tracked here. The Arizona Coyotes, after this season, right? Like, they have no defenseman signed beyond this year, except for a guy named Maximilian Zuber, who's on an ELC, right? Like, everyone is expiring among the Arizona Coyotes defense corps. They're projected to go into this cap this offseason with $40 million in cap space. $40 million in cap space. Cap goes up. New owner with deep pockets perhaps takes over this franchise that's tended to function more as an NHL laundromat. This is just, like, a thing to note as we talk about Joshua, as we talk about Hronek, as we talk about Vancouver's bevy of expiring. Like, if you have another buyer in the pond with unlimited pockets, a desire to make a splash, and the cap space to outbid, that's another just inflationary force, like an inflationary force on player salaries potentially coming to a Western Conference near you. And I just think that's worth noting here because, you know, knock-on effects of this Coyotes story, to me, one of the big things, this is good for the players because they don't have to play at Mullet. This could be really good for the players in that you're getting, you know, one of the last true have-not franchises may in fact be the sort of spender that dominates the news cycle on July 1.
The other thing I'll say about Arizona, now, it doesn't directly affect the unrestricted free agency market, but if you're looking to make a splash, 3 second-round picks this year, 3 third-round picks, 4 second-round picks next year, and a couple of third-round picks, 3 second-round picks the year after that. Now, no extra firsts in there, but if he was motivated to just do a lot of shopping, right? Like, hey, what can I get for a couple of second-round picks? What can I get for, you know, 2 seconds and a third? He could do that, like, several times over going into this summer to bring in players, to bring in salaried players, in addition to the unrestricted free agency spending that he could do.
It's also going to be interesting to see what the NHL does in terms of the Pacific Division. Like truly, because you would assume, based on time zone and for TV reasons in the United States, Colorado, Salt Lake, and Vegas would be teams that you'd ideally like to keep in one division.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that leave the Alberta teams? What does that mean for the Pacific? Could it be reconstituted in some material way? Could the Canucks end up in a division with both the Golden Knights and the Avalanche? Right? Like, that's...
So you're suggesting then, do you move the Avalanche and Salt Lake City to the Pacific and shift Calgary and Edmonton?
At least consider
to the Central.
It's better for time zones. It's better for travel.
Yeah.
For most of the, not for
Colorado.
Well, not for the Canucks, but for most of the teams in the West.
Yeah. Or interesting. That's something to note. Although I will, like, it's not as if, you know, Arizona is, and Salt Lake are like directly north and south from each other.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if there has to be realignment. And then I also wonder if you're waiting to see where your expansion process goes before you start realigning things.
But Vegas and Salt Lake City are going to be a natural geographic rivalry.
Yes.
You do want that, I think, if you're going to get Utah off their feet pretty quickly, especially because, you know, my understanding of it's been that the Golden Knights have actually resonated pretty well.
In Salt Lake.
Have indexed decently well in Utah. So, anyway, a lot to consider here. A lot of fallout that we'll be tracking in the months ahead. But I did want to just spotlight Ryan Smith's significant salary investment that he brought when he first purchased the Utah Jazz when they were still going for it, and what that could mean for a team with 40 plus million in cap space entering this offseason.
And Rager texts in here, moving two of Vancouver's biggest rivals would be an absolute disaster. And you got to think the Canucks would speak up about that as well, right?
Oh,
they'd
want
to be in that division. Not for sure. Not just for travel reasons, but for ticket rivalry reasons as well with Edmonton.
Oh, you definitely,
and Calgary.
You definitely want the two McDavid games a year. Come on.
Yeah, you want those games against the other Canadian teams as well. I don't know
if you need to play Calgary towards the year.
No. I also just wonder from the NHL's perspective if they like having as many of the Canadian teams kind of siloed in different divisions, like in their own divisions as possible. I know Winnipeg's in the Central, so you'd still end up with a division with three Canadian teams, so maybe it doesn't change things from their point of view, but I don't know. It's going to be a complicated situation for the NHL.
There's the expansion factor to consider, too, with the Fertitta Group.
Yep.
Right? Houston would clearly move into the Central
itself. That would
be
a Central. That would be a very logical Central.
So there's an awful lot of considerations.
But then even if you're at 34, then you don't have the balanced, like, you're going to have 8 and 9.
Well,
right,
that's good,
because
they need to abandon these divisions anyway. Conference, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Lineup notes. Optional skate, as we said, looks like Shelovs will get the start. Not confirmed. Podkolzin, Neil Zaman, and I believe you said Noah Juulsen and Mark Friedman all out skating late, so they look like potential scratches.
So good for Phil DiGiuseppe. A strong indication that we may see Elias Lindholm.
Now, Elias Lindholm also not confirmed by Rick Tocchet, so I guess you could see 11-7. You could see Neil Zaman get in. You could see Podkolzin stay in the lineup if he doesn't go, but certainly trending towards Elias Lindholm getting the start. It was an optional skate, so no lineups or anything like that, combinations, trios to report. We'll see how they line up in warm-up tonight at Rogers Arena. Playoff forecast, Canucks with a 68% chance to win the division per Dom Lucision's model. They're 5 points up. Edmonton has those two games in hand. So right now, the Canucks can top out at 112 points. Edmonton can top out at 111. As you said, the results tonight, huge. Might even take some of the sting out of that Saturday game, but we'll see. Depending on how the results go, that could still end up being absolutely vital to determining how this ends up. Most likely playoff opponent, some big movement here. Nashville now, almost 50-50, a 45% chance per Dom Lucision to
LA
be the
losing,
first round playoff
right?
matchup.
LA losing means that even if they fall out of third, it's not a guarantee that they'd be seventh and ahead of the Predators. And then Vegas obviously dropping that game to Vancouver feels like it may have cemented them somewhat in the eight spot. A Dallas-Vegas first-round series? Oh, boy.
Yeah, Vegas now has, according to the model, an equal chance. 38% chance of playing the Oilers, 38% chance of playing the Dallas Stars, and the 24 left over would be the Canucks.
Canucks, yeah.
So for the Canucks, it's Nashville 45, LA 31, Vegas 24 right now.
The Nashville Predators and their refusal to lose games that they're trailing late is really messing with my travel plans.
They absolutely are.
I hate it so much.
So that's how things stand. Betting odds update for us.
Yes, the Canucks are pretty heavy favorites. They opened at minus 235 against the Coyotes. That's been steamed up to minus 260. Coyotes.
Choo-choo! They're steaming up just like the Coyotes are steaming the Salt Lake City here.
Wow, I like that. There's been a lot of movement.
There's been a lot of movement.
On the line.
The line has relocated to minus 260 today.
Wow.
Wild amounts of condensation.
Did you look up, like, steam in the thesaurus online there? Or did, or
no.
did, was,
no,
that a, was that a Dom poll?
That was a dom pull.
Okay.
A dom pull.
Congratulations.
It was a six spa joke, bro.
You know what, Jamie?
I said congratulations.
Do I look like Rick to you?
No, you do not.
So I also want to spotlight that the Oilers are -115 favorites. Golden Knights, you can get +100. You can get +100 on the Golden Knights. And then here's the one that that I want to particularly pick at. Over under is set at 6.5 at the moment. 6.5 with a little more steam on the over on the sorry on the under. The over you can get plus money in some spots on it over 6.5. I know the Coyotes have been scoring goals in bunches, but Connor Ingram played well against the Canucks. Vancouver's, despite last game having 7 goals, played a lot of unders lately, right? This is a good defensive team. Silov's has been decently steady. I think that's partly why the over is getting a little bit high here. I think 6.5 is too high. I want to spotlight and circle the under for our listeners.
All right, there you go. That is the whiteboard for today, April 10th. Ahead of the Canucks and the Arizona Coyotes. By the way, we're still, you know, we got a lot of maintenance days and all that happening. So I'm going to be back on the intermissions and the post game show with Satyar Shah. No Drants, unfortunately, tonight, or fortunately. I don't know. So you don't get to sample the gondola snack again tonight.
That's
after,
okay.
After you were saddled with the hot dog.
The cheese dog. Yeah, that was a little.
Monday.
That was a little much.
Honestly, I loved it. Everyone was like, oh, it's hot
love,
dogs. I was like, this
love?
Is great.
Sorry, I ate it because I felt like I needed to get something for my time, but I regretted it.
I had zero regrets.
You're
I
the
no
only person
whatsoever.
Who's ever said I've loved that hot dog.
It was great. What's not to like about a cheese and onion dog, man? It was great.
It's not exactly the healthiest option.
So? Who cares?
What you wanted lettuce wraps, Dom?
No. No.
You wanted a burger?
The burger's good.
Also,
the
not
good.
The healthiest. The pizzas and the burger. It's not the healthiest option. Give me the
Mediterranean
pizza, or the dog.
Pizza. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, that sounds
vegetable.
Great.
Basically, a salad.
Love that.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. It is Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.